Does it make any difference? Does it make any difference? Does Sunday make any difference? We have a prayer meeting during the week, during the daytime on a Tuesday. You'd be really welcome to come and join us. And as part of that, we use a little bit of liturgy, some set words as part of, as well as praying spontaneously to help give us a bit of framework to what we do. And we change them every now and then, and we just changed it at the start of this year to keep it fresh and not become routine. And we've started saying this confession together. Lord, we have got it wrong. We thought you just wanted our worship, songs of praise and prayers of passion. But you want the whole of our lives, a worldly worship of acting justly and living compassionately. You look inside and ask us who we are and what we want. This little series we're doing of a spiritual checkup asks us some tough questions. As Alan was just saying last week, John was speaking and very much on what we kind of called Sunday, as a way of just trying to split up, looking at different areas of our lives, talking about our faith, how we've grown in our understanding of Jesus, how we've grown in our understanding of the Bible, what our habits are like in reading the Bible. Do we just come on a Sunday? And is that all our engagement is with the Bible? Or do we look at it through the week? At prayer, at how we minister as part of God's people here, of how we give, of our money for God's work. Asking those sorts of questions. That confession reminds us that God isn't just interested in those things, isn't just interested in what we might call Sunday things, but is interested in the whole of our lives, wants the whole of our lives to be committed to him. Another way you could split it up is to talk about when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, it's this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And he said, the second is like it, to love your neighbour as yourself. A lot of what John was talking about last week was about loving God, how we show our love for God, how we come to know him more. This week is a lot about how we love our neighbour, the difference that Sunday might make tomorrow. Similarly to John last week, this is based again on a little, what was an old pamphlet put together by William Sangster. It's been updated a bit, and there's a copy of it in the foyer, if you'd like to take it and have an opportunity to think about this further and a bit more personally. Apparently, Sangster, when he wrote this pamphlet, in the end, closing to his introduction to it, to encourage people to take the time to do this, he said, if you're too busy for this, you are too busy. There's copies in the foyer if you'd like to take this a bit further personally. And what I'm saying this morning comes from some of those things, some of those headings that he wrote in that pamphlet. But we're also basing this upon Romans chapter 12 that we heard read earlier. You might want to have it open in front of you because a lot is going to come from these verses. It's page 1139 of the Bibles that are provided. And it begins, Romans chapter 12, with these words. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And I felt it was important to begin there because both what we spoke about last week and this week starts from that place, in view of God's mercy. That actually all that John was talking about last week in the things that we might do to show our love of God, the things that we might do to praise God, to worship him, the things we might do to learn more about him, we don't do that in any way to earn God's favour. The things that we talk about today, about how we love others, how we go and love our neighbour through the week, we don't do those things to earn God's favour. It doesn't come from a place of somehow trying to earn points with God. Every now and then, there's a few young people who, you know, someone does something good or says something good, and they go, ah, God points. And it's flippant, and it's joking, and hopefully they know it is. Because we don't do these things. We don't show off of how much we know about God because somehow God will love us more. All of that begins in response to God's mercy. What's written about in this passage starts from this therefore, in view of God's mercy. You can read so much more about it as you look through the early chapters of Romans, and we're going to do some of that together later in the year on Sunday mornings. Have a look more, a bit at Romans. But we see that God has shown mercy to us. Mercy to us, people who are inexcusable sinners. Mercy to us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. Mercy to us that we can be freely justified by faith. That if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, then your sins can be forgiven. That's all it is, placing faith in him. And if we do that, if we place our faith in him, he sends his Spirit to fill us, that he will dwell with us, that he'll live with us by his Spirit, that he makes us his sons and daughters, children of God. If you place your faith in Jesus, you are already a child of God, his sons and daughters. There's nothing that you can do to earn more of his favour. What we do is in response to what he's already done for us. In gratitude to the mercy and the grace that he's shown us, we go and live for him. And Paul describes it here as going and offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. That actually we offer him all of us. That it's not just a little bit, that it's not just about a Sunday morning, but actually all of our lives, our whole life, everything we are becomes this offering to God. That it's not just about Sunday, it's not just about singing songs or about having a certain feeling inside, but actually it's worked out in concrete actions of how we live from day to day. That actually we begin to live differently to the world around us. That actually because of Sunday, because of what we've come to know of God's mercy, we live differently to the world around us. Because the world's way of living and what God wants for us are incompatible. They're not the same. They don't fit together. That as we begin to live the way that God wants us to, it's not the same as the world. Verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That actually we become renewed, that our minds are changed, that we begin to not live anymore the same way that the world does. How does God renew our mind? Well, he does it by his Spirit at work in us. He does it as we come to know more of his word, of what it says in the Bible. And immediately we see actually how Sunday and Monday meet. How actually we need to come and worship. We need to know God's Spirit at work in our lives. We need to come and know more of what his word says, that we may be renewed, that our minds might be transformed, that we go and live these different lives. And it's important too in what it says in verse 2 that it's not just something that you do once. This isn't just saying when you become a Christian, your minds are renewed and you go off and live this transformed life and that's it. It's just a one-off thing that happens. Actually, the Greek that it's written in says that it's something that you go on doing, that goes on, that it's a process that keeps happening. It's like it says, go on refusing to conform to the pattern of this world and go on being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's something that you keep on doing. Which is why what we're doing at the start of this year is so important, because if it's something that's ongoing that you keep on doing, then every now and then you've got to stop and ask yourself, how's it been going? And where do I need to go next? Where is God calling me to go next? This kind of stopping and thinking and reviewing and asking ourselves some tough questions is important. And we didn't read it earlier, but verse 3 gives us some helpful bits of advice too. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." So actually, we need to take a decent look at ourselves. Not one that's overly critical, that beats ourselves up, that says we're awful at everything, that actually to recognise what's been good in the last year, 5 years, 10 years, but also to do it realistically, that sober judgment that asks ourselves some challenging questions, that dwells on the things that maybe we have struggled with, and that honestly seeks for what God is saying to us, how he wants us to grow. We picked up from verse 9, and if you've got a church Bible, you'll see it's titled Love in Action. It gives us this picture of what love should look like. It begins, love must be sincere. That actually, if we're to go and love our neighbours as we go out into the weeks ahead, then actually it's love that must be borne out in action, in not just empty words, not just in a feeling or an idea, but actually love that's sincere is love that's put into action. And the verses that go beyond this give us a picture of what that love might look like. How do we go and love our neighbours as we head out into the world? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Immediately we're given this choice. We're given one way or the other. We're to hate what is evil and to cling to what is good. And I want to start by just saying, actually, have we chosen to do that? Have you made a choice to do that? Have you made a choice to reject evil? Have you made a choice to seek to live God's way? Not that you're perfect, not that everything you do is right, because none of us are like that. But actually, that you've made a decision to seek to live the way that God wants you to. Or has this just been a Sunday thing for you? Has this just been about going through the motions? Or saying the right things? Or being here on a Sunday morning? And actually, if you're honest, you know it's not gone further than that. Will you let Sunday change Monday? Will you open up the rest of your life to what God wants for you? And of course, tomorrow for many people, it'll probably be that you'll be off to work or to school or college or something like that. If you'll be off to work or school or something along those lines tomorrow, raise your hand. Just let me... Okay, so that's the vast majority. And I suspect others may well be going to somewhere where you are in one way or another, probably mixing with people who aren't Christians. So what does that look like as we head into Monday? To hate what is evil and cling to what is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says that we need to reject every kind of evil. When we get out of here, when it comes to a Monday, do we do that? Do we refuse to lie? Do we seek to be honest, whatever the cost is to us? Do we choose not to use bad language? To not use coarse words? Do we tell jokes that aren't very appropriate? How do we behave with members of the opposite sex? 1 Timothy chapter 5 says that we should treat older men and women like fathers and mothers, younger men and women like brothers and sisters. Did I stuff that up?
No.
Cool. You just got a laugh there.
I was just hoping they were actually better than fathers and mothers. That was
all. We'll come to that. We'll come to that. It's all right. We'll get there. Do we behave appropriately with others? Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal. Zeal is a bit of an odd word, one that we don't use terribly often, but it means something like enthusiasm. Never be lacking in enthusiasm. As you go into work or school or whatever, are you lacking in enthusiasm? Now, this isn't all about being a bright and bubbly and bouncy kind of person, because some of us just aren't like that, I know, and you know we're just not like that in character. And some of us are thinking people like that are just really annoying. It's not about that kind of overflowing enthusiasm, you know, someone who seems to have boundless energy. But actually, it's about recognising an enthusiasm for the opportunity, as you go into the week ahead. There's a book that's titled Thank God It's Monday. And there's something just within that title of what I'm trying to say, that actually we recognise there's an opportunity of going into the week ahead. That actually God has something for us in the place that he's put us on Monday. That actually he wants us to be salt and light. That actually he wants us to be known as someone who's a follower of him, known as someone who's going to make a difference in that place. And actually the opportunity can be as simple as being done in just the way that you do your work, the way that you engage in the tasks that you're given. Because actually our attitude to it is different from the world. Because if you go right back to Genesis, we can see that work is a gift from God, that God gives us work to do, that it's a good thing. We're told in Ephesians chapter 6 that we should work as though we're working for the Lord. That actually we should have that kind of attitude, even when no one's looking, even when it's not so interesting, even when things are unjust and unfair. Those instructions to work as if you're working for the Lord were given to slaves. I don't think it gets much more unjust and unfair than that. To work as though we're working for God. That we can be a witness simply by our enthusiasm to do a good job. That actually Jesus could be respected simply for the way that we engage in the work that we're given. When we're in these places, what about honouring one another above ourselves? So often places of work, particularly schools as well, can be such negative places. Can be places where people actually are torn down. Where people actually just want to lift themselves up. And you know what, if they have to step on someone else to do it, if they have to pull someone else down to make themselves look better, then you know what, I'll go and do it. Are we willing to be people who live differently to that? In what Paul says there, it's a sense of saying, outdo each other in showing honour. Outdo other people in praising, in lifting them up, in actually saying others are better than you are. That actually we could be people who sometimes are a bit odd because they're willing to say good things about other people. Because they're willing to recognise where things have been done well. Because you're willing to value others above ourselves. And of course that's something that's true for both work and at home as well. It's not just something that we need to do at work, but in our home life too. Do we honour others? Do we encourage those who are the closest to us? I know it can certainly be true for me, that it's the people who I'm closest to who I'm sometimes the worst with. That actually I can be polite and patient and maybe even nice until I walk in the door at home. And then suddenly I'm somewhat different because I'm tired and I'm a bit grumpy and whatever other excuses I want to make. But then maybe I'm being more me than I am anywhere else. I see it quite comically sometimes. Working with young people, it can be quite entertaining. I'm commenting on no young person in particular. But you get to know young people in a kind of a youth group setting and you see they're quite nice, well-adjusted young people who are reasonably polite and talkative and friendly. And then for every now and then, for some reason, I might end up going to one of their houses, maybe for lunch or something like this. And then suddenly I meet a different young person. Suddenly I meet a young person who's inarticulate, who's grumpy, who's quite rude. And I think, what's happened here? Well, this young person suddenly completely transformed and changed from the person that I knew. And I think sometimes, actually, it's maybe even reversed with young people, that because they're so grumpy with their parents, they're less themselves at home than they can be in other settings. I think sometimes those of us who are a bit older, if we're honest, we're more ourselves when we're at home and we manage to put on a mask the rest of the time. Do I honour others above myself? Do I value those who are closest to me? Do I speak kindly to them or do I take them for granted? Those who still live with their parents, let me encourage you or challenge you with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. But actually, the challenge, hard as it may be, is to listen and to value your parents, even when that's difficult. Will you honour others above yourselves? And what about when you're at home? How do you talk about others, not those in your home, but those outside? When you're at home, do you still honour those in your church, in your wider family, in your friends? Or in that private setting, do you talk people down? Are you critical? I remember I feel quite privileged to have grown up in a family where generally not much bad was said about people. That even with our family, we wouldn't generally say much. My parents generally wouldn't speak against others. Certainly not around me and my brother. And it stood out to me once really clearly when we went to stay with another family. Went and stayed in their house while we were on holiday visiting London and this sort of thing. And we stayed with them. And through the week, I gradually just picked up more and more that actually so much of what they said was really critical of other people. And I was a child when we went. And even I managed to pick up and think, I wonder what they'll say about me when we've gone. I wonder what I've done that's been a bit rude or not very nice or it's kind of taken them for granted and what they might say about me when I'm gone. The thing they did really well for us and very generously was to offer us hospitality. Verse 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. How do we view our home, our possessions, our money? John spoke last week about how we give money away. Do we tithe? Do we give offerings? Do we do that strategically and regularly and planned? But actually, what about what's left? Do we say, well, that's mine? Or do we still view that as God's? Do we view these things as my personal possession? Or do we have a view more of, I've been lent this from God's library? It's mine to take care of and to use as he'd want me to. Because actually, when we view all that we have as God's, it becomes a lot easier to be generous with it. It becomes a lot easier to lend, to give freely. It becomes a lot easier to offer hospitality, not just to those who we're closest to, but to those who we don't know so well, to those who won't always do the same in return. What about what's going on inside? What about our thoughts, our words? Verse 14 says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. In the things that we say, do we use those things to build up others? Do we use those things to encourage those around us? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do we have that attitude in what we say? Do we let God occupy our thoughts? Are we so occupied by what God has done for us, by his blessings in our lives, that actually what we say comes from that, blesses others, wants to encourage them and build them up? In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says that out of the mouth speaks out of what the heart is full of. That what we say comes out of what's in our hearts. And again, this is why it's so important, Sunday and Monday. That actually what goes on, what goes in a Sunday through the week as we look at God's word, as we pray, is what's going to come out of our mouths. That actually the things that we're dwelling on is what we're going to speak. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. How do we think of others? Are we proud or are we humble? Do we think of ourselves as better than those around us? Do we judge others simply just by looking at them, by their appearances? James chapter 2 has some pretty strong words about us if we show favouritism to people, just on how they look, the money that they've got, if we value people differently. He even quotes Jesus and says, if we love our neighbour, then we won't show favouritism. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Are we willing to serve those around us? Are we willing to serve our neighbour, to love our neighbour? Are we willing? Because it's a costly love. It's not something that's easy. It's something that costs us. It's something that we're called to do without any kind of ulterior motive. Not to love others because we want to get them into church, because we want to look good, because we hope they'll do something for us in return. When Jesus was asked, who is my neighbour? He told the story of the Good Samaritan, of someone who went out of their way, at great expense to themselves, to love and to care for someone who was their enemy, for someone who they weren't going to get anything in return from. Perhaps the ultimate act of that kind of sacrifice is seen in Jesus, that he was willing to offer his life for us. And we're called here to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Will we offer that kind of devotion to the people around us? Romans chapter 12, finished with verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As we go into the world, as we begin Monday, we're offered a choice to choose one way or the other, to be overcome by evil or to overcome evil with good. Will we take that choice to no longer conform to the pan of the world, but in view of God's mercy, in view of all that God has done for us, in view of all that we learn as we come to know God's love, as we come to love him more, will we go and live differently? How will you go in view of God's mercy and live differently this year?